promise of his presence. Amen? The promise of his presence. As you know, the Bible is full of all of these promises that God has given us. According to one person's count, there's 3,573 promises in the Bible. The word promise itself occurs over 50 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, the real reason that promises are so important to us is that any strong relationship that you have with anybody, there's some promises that are included. In those promises, we base it on the trust that we have with other people. Whether it's your partner or whether it's your friend, trust is always the starting point when you call somebody your friend. Trust is always there when somebody makes a promise to you. Have you ever heard somebody make a promise to you and you didn't trust them? You don't take too kindly to that promise. You don't believe that promise. But when God promises something, he can't lie. Amen? So if there's over 3,573 promises in the Bible, there's a promise in there somewhere for you, for whatever it is that you're going through. You see, we're human, and we make all kind of promises. We make promises to everybody, and we don't always keep those promises. We make promises, we break promises. More importantly, we forget promises. But God's promises never fail because it's all in the Bible. And as Joshua said, not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord, your God, promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them have failed. I want to know this morning, is there somebody in here that God made a promise to you and it's failed? He's failed you? I know he hasn't failed me yet. Amen? You see, we receive a promise from God, and when we receive a promise from God, that is a great and is a precious privilege. When God speaks, his word will be fulfilled, and he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. So where I want to go this morning shortly is in Exodus. Exodus 33, verses 12, maybe to about 24. But I'm going to start with 12 to 16. And I'm going to set the scene for you. Moses has already brought the children of Israel out. Amen? And they're hanging around, and Moses is going up, and he's talking to the Lord, and he's got to talk to the Lord because everybody can't just go talk to the Lord. You need a spokesperson. So Moses was their spokesperson. So Moses is going to talk to the Lord, and while he's up there, the people get confused. And his right-hand man, Aaron, they say to Aaron, we don't know where Moses is right now, what's going up on that mountain. So we need a God that we can worship. So they take all of their gold and they melt it and they make an idol. And lo and behold, Moses come down and he sees this calf idol that they made. And he knows that God is not going to be happy. Do you know that we have a jealous God? We serve a jealous God? My wife and I was talking about jealousy this morning on the way in. Jealousy can take a person to the point that they want to kill you. You see little kids, they're jealous of one another. You got candy and I don't, well, I snatch your candy. You got ice cream and I don't, I make your ice cream fall. You got something that I want, I steal it from you and I run away with it. Jealousy has provoked adults and man and woman to kill. Amen? Now, we have a jealous God, but thank God he's also a forgiving God. So Moses had to rebuke his people when he came down and they had created this idol, this calf idol of gold. He rebuked them. But then God gave Moses some directions. And he says to Moses, it's time for you to take these people elsewhere where I want you to take them. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that, first of all, before that, he says, I want you to tell them that they're stiff-necked people. So Moses had to tell them that they're stiff-necked people. In other words, they're the same type of people that we can be today. Because people are people. Nothing's changed with people either. Amen? So Moses has told them, God told them that they're stiff-necked people. But now God tells Moses, now I want you to take them and lead them out to where I want them to be. So Moses was a little hesitant. But he wasn't disobedient to God. He just wanted to remind God of some promises that the Lord has made to him. Sometimes we need to remind God of the promises that he made to us. He don't mind you reminding him. Have you ever said, Lord, you promised me that you were going to take care of this situation for me? Because if he has given you something that he has already ordained and spoke to you and said that he's going to take care of something for you, you can remind them of that. But in order for God to tell you something, you got to have a relationship with him. Amen? If you don't have a relationship with him, don't be saying what God promised and he told you. Amen? But anyway, Moses had a relationship with God. And in verse 12, it reads like this. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know that and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Right away in the beginning of that, Moses disowns ownership of leading those people. He says, you know, Lord, these are your people. Have you ever been in that situation and somebody's supposed to be doing something or lead, and they say, wait a minute, I'm not doing this by myself. You said that you were going to do it. Moses is turning around and saying, these are your people. Now I want to know who you're going to send to help me with your people. Moses already knows these people. I mean, besides calling them stiff-necked, he spent so much time with these people, with their problems and their nagging him and everything. He don't even want to consider them as his own people. He says, Lord, these are your people. Who are you going to send to help me with your people? He says, Lord, you say that you know me by name. And you have found, and you said, I have found grace in your sight. You know, a lot of times we talk about the dispensation of grace and we always associate that with the New Testament and Jesus Christ. But here Moses is saying that grace was already in the Old Testament. It was already here before Jesus Christ came. And he's saying, Lord, God, you said that I have found grace in your sight. Now, if I found grace in your sight, you need to help me out here. You need to tell me who you're going to send to help me with these people. Amen? And the Lord God turns around and says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. We're always looking for something, but the Lord said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And he's telling Moses, my presence is always with you. You see, when you're going through something and you're complaining, you don't realize that his presence is already there with you. And if you know that his presence is already with you, that you have nothing to fear. Then Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up here from here. Moses, he's talking to the Lord. He's talking to God the same way that we talk to one another. The importance of it, this is for you to understand, is that to have the relationship with the Lord God through Jesus Christ, his son, you can talk to him. Sometimes people are scared to talk to the Lord. You think that you got to be screaming and hollering and stomping and running around doing turning flips? You don't have to do that. Moses is having that actual conversation. And Moses standing on his little ground. He said, if you don't come, you don't send somebody with us, then don't tell us to leave here because we ain't going. As a matter of fact, I'm not going. I'm not taking nobody nowhere. I'm not taking your people anywhere. You can talk to the Lord like that when you have a relationship with him. When you trust him. He wants you to fear him for who he is. But he's not going to just turn you away. He's just not going to step on you. Listen, God, he don't need that ego thing that some people need to have. He's God. And when you talk to him, just talk to him. He already knows. He already knew that how Moses felt. So he was just reassuring him. Amen? Moses continued and says, for how then it will be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So God is telling Moses, Moses is saying, how are we going to know that, you know, that we're different, that we're separate from everybody? How are people going to know that these are your people? He says, you're going to be separate from everybody else. And then they're going to know that you are my children. You see, people, the enemy and people that you know, that you live with, that you work with, that you speak to every day, they don't know that you're a child of God. Because you don't feel, talk, and act separate. It's got pretty quiet, but that's okay. God says that they will know who you are because you're separate. So that means that everything that everybody's doing, it don't mean that we can do it. Because we got to be separate. He's not a strict God. But he's a strict God, if that makes sense. Amen? So how did Moses get this promise? Moses fought this promise because he had a great commission. Amen? God has given us a great commission to go and teach and make disciples of all nations. But he says it, when he says it, he says, and I will be with you. When you go outside to witness, sometimes we have a fear of speaking to people. But don't worry what to say because he says, I will be with you. When you stand before the judge and he's falsely accusing you and getting ready to sentence you, don't fear because God says, I will be with you. Anytime that God has given you a commission, there is no time in the Bible that God has commissioned somebody to do something and he didn't enable them. You see, Moses was a little leery because he didn't realize that God has already enabled him to achieve what he told him to do. You might tell me to go do something, but you don't have the power, you don't have the tools, and I'm just going doing what you're saying. You're not enabling me. But when God commissions you to do something, he enables you to do it. He's not sending you out there with a water gun and you're going against Uzis. Amen? You have the weapons of warfare right with you, whatever the assignment is that God has given you. In Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency and all things may have abundance for every good work. God is just not going to give you a little bit, but the scripture says he's going to give you an abundance to do everything that he has assigned you to do. So you believe that, some people believe that God is going to send you out there on a cut budget. But God don't give you a cut budget. He gives you big things. He gives you more than enough than you need. Have you ever seen somebody doing a job and it only takes a 2x1, 2x4, but they get two? They get two because they need an abundance just in case something happens. God knows that the enemy is busy. How busy he is, he's busier than you know that he is. So God is going to give you an abundance just in case something happens. Amen? Because we are human and we might make a mistake, but we still have to do the job. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he says, no matter what it is that you do, no matter what it is that you go through, the work is still the work. So the commission that he gave you, it's not going to get canceled because you didn't do it. Because you failed to do it, or you desire that you don't want to do it. The work is still the work. The work is still going to get done. Can you turn to somebody and say, the work is still the work? This is what God promised them. He said, my presence shall go with thee. When God goes with you, it is like having a strong box. And inside of that strong box, there are so many tools and weapons that nothing the enemy puts towards you can be defeated. Amen? And this promise is yours because God says no matter where you go, he's always going to be there. That's when he says, and it's the end of Matthew, and he says, teaching them all things. He says, lo and behold, make disciples of all men. And then he says, I will be with you. Amen. If you turn to Matthew, there's nothing else after that. Nothing else after that. I will be with you. Amen. When God gave this promise to Moses, Moses was crying out and he was trying to please God, but he wanted to please God, but he said, you know what, God? He says, if you really want me to do this, show me thy glory. Now, God did not have to show Moses anything. Amen? Because he has already said that nobody can see God. No human can see God. But Moses is saying, you know, he calculated. He says, let me see. You told me that I have grace. You told me that I have favor. You told me that your presence is always going to be with me. God, let me ask you a question. I need to see thy presence. I want to know thee. Amen? There is a message in what Moses is saying. He's saying, show me thy glory that I might know thee. And the way to blessings, the fulfillment and blessings, is not seeking blessings, but by seeking God. That's something that somebody should be writing down. Because if you want blessings, you don't say, Lord, I need these blessings. You say, God, show me the way that I might serve you more. And then the blessings come. When you know God and you seek God, That's when the blessings start. But we turn around and we be asking for things, and the stuff that we ask for is in our little minds. But God is a great God, He's a big God, and the blessings He wants to give us, far beyond what we're thinking. So if we just please God, He will bestow blessings and blessings and blessings upon us. Amen? So Moses says, "Let me show me thy glory that I might know thee." Moses didn't say, "Show me thy glory so I might just believe you." He says, "I want to know you more." It was the words that Moses used. But God knew what he was talking about. So what God did is he says, okay. He says, "You can't handle looking at me, but I'm going to put you in a place. And I'm going to cover you with my hand. And when I go by, you can see my back. You'll see my glory." Don't you know that God wants to show us his glory? But while you're looking, you can't look and you can't see it. But if you hold on, he'll put you someplace, and as he goes by, you can see the back, because it can't be nobody but God. It can't be nobody but God. It can't be nobody but God. You've gone through some things here. It can't be nobody but God. He didn't show it to you, but he did it. You knew it was him, because when it went by and you said, "How did that happen? Who did that?" It was God. And when God took Moses and he put him up in that cliff, let me tell you the words he used. He says, "I will put you in a cliff in the rocks." Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something about that rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Because on Christ, the solid, the rock is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When he said to Peter, "Upon this We go through life and we go through things and we don't have any rest." And God tells Moses, "My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest." You see, Moses was pretty unrestful knowing that he had to take God's people on this journey. Sometimes God gives us things that we have to do and we go through unrest. But when you do what God says to do, he will give you rest because his presence is with you. I mean, you heard Deacon this morning trying to be obedient to the word that he couldn't during the week. He was tossing and turning and tossing and turning and getting up and sitting down, putting the TV on, getting out of the bed, getting back in the bed, going through the bathroom, looking at the window, doing everything because there was unrest in his life. But when he realized that the presence of God is with him, then it was rest. Hallelujah. Going through some things this morning, you're tossing and turning. You're going this place, you're going that place. Don't know what to do. There's unrest because there's no obedience to what God is telling you to do. When you're obedient to what God tells you to do, you will find rest. When you dwell in his presence, you will find rest. He says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. Abide with me and your rest will abide. I will fear no evil." Remember David in the 23rd Psalms? He's going down. He's saying he's a little restless, but then he understands that though I go through the shadow, come on now, the valley of death, I will fear no evil. We fear evil. We walk around fearing evil. But we don't need to fear evil. If the presence of God is with you, you don't fear no evil. Don't act like it's not there. Acknowledge that it's there, but don't fear it. The devil wants you to be scared. The devil wants you to run. The devil wants you to not realize that the presence of God is with you. Let me tell you, the presence of God gives you rest. It gives you rest from sin. It gives you rest from man. It gives you rest from the cares of the world. It gives you rest from the anxieties that we feel. Amen? That's when somebody like a Donald Trump is the president, we don't care. We fear no man. We fear God. But as his child, we know he's going to take care of us. Amen? We fear the power of separation. Moses thought that he would be separated from the power of God, from God's grace and mercy, because he had those people with him. But God said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. We fear separation. God will never separate from you, but you will separate from God. You stop doing what God requires of you to do. But God never stops. He never, ever stops. He never stops. Wherever we go, God is with us. And you want to know something? God can only be with us if we agree. Because the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Amen? God couldn't walk with Moses unless Moses agreed with what God mandated him to do. It's not like he didn't have questions, but God answered his questions. And God answered his questions by giving him the promises. Amen? And all of those who have close dealings with God know that in order to have that relationship, that pure D relationship with him, to be led by the Spirit, you have to have that Holy Spirit inside of you. You see, because you could be saved, but when you're just saved, you just crossed over into a boundary. You just broke a couple of things that God, the devil has on you. When you get sanctified, you get cleaned out so you can receive something a little bit more. But when you get the Holy Spirit in you, there is somebody walking with you. There is somebody talking with you. The presence of God never leaves you. As things come up on you, they can feel. The enemy can feel it. He can feel it. He can see it. That is the comforter. That is when he was telling Moses. When he says, my presence will never leave you, he is saying that the Holy Spirit was going to be with him. So there again, the Holy Spirit didn't just come in Acts. The Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. It was in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, and Ruth. That's why we take the whole Bible, rightly divided, because the same things that were in the New Testament were in the Old Testament, but God did not reveal them yet. Amen? Paul had the same longings to know God. He said, we shall know if we follow on how to know. We shall know if we follow on how to know. That means we're going to know if you learn, if you earn, if you desire, if you go after knowing how to know. What's wrong? There's so many people that think that they know, but they don't know. They don't even desire to know. The more you know, the more that you know that you don't know. Paul says he has a desire to know. But what is it that we should desire to know? Desire to know that his presence is here, and not just his presence. Anytime there is grace, the presence of God is there. Hallelujah. And he'd never leave you. Hallelujah. When we say, oh, I'm looking for grace and mercy, you've had grace and mercy every day that we wake up. We got grace and mercy every time we turn around. You got a house, you got grace and mercy. You got a job, you got grace and mercy. Your kids are well, they're not sick, you got grace and mercy. Even people that are sick got grace and mercy. If you're not dead, you got grace and mercy. And we got to say like Paul, no matter what it is, our charges, that his grace and his mercy is sufficient. It's sufficient for us. When you accept the cards that God has given you, it's not a hard thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's just that God knew he could use you to do that. He knew that he could use you to go through that. Amen? God told Moses, I will cover thee. I will cover thee with thy hand. Anytime you're going through something, when you was a little child and you was going someplace and your mother didn't want you to see something and your dad didn't want you to see something, they covered your face with the hand so you didn't see it. But you knew something was going on, didn't you? You knew something was going on, but it wasn't for you to see. It wasn't even for you to know. But you knew it because the presence of something that was there. He said, Moses, I will cover thee with my hand. Some of us are going through something right now. And we don't even know why we're going through it. But more will be revealed later. But he's covering you with his hand. And he's taking you through places that you have no business being. Through situations that you can't handle. Because he knows the future. He's already seen it. He's already done it. He's already been through it. And he's covering you with the shelter of his hand. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning.